Hey there, everybody. Phil here for Android Central. And no, it's not quite time for the podcast yet. We got a special little treat for you. Last week, we were out in California at the Adobe Flash Summit where we met Ryan Stewart, a platform evangelist with Adobe. And Jerry and I have sat him down to make him explain Flash and Adobe Air to us and why we care about them and why we want them and why they are good. So here we go. A few minutes with Ryan Stewart with Adobe, and sit back, relax, and enjoy it. See ya. So let's talk a little bit. You had myself and a bunch of the other Android sites out in San Francisco about a week ago to basically talk about Flash and talk about Adobe and talk about Air. And we talked a little bit in the middle of the thing that people just don't necessarily understand the difference between the two. Or a big question with smartphones right now is, can I get Flash on it? And then the second question kind of is, all right, well, now what? Now that I have it.
Yeah, exactly. And so as you, in fact, your video is kind of, I forwarded that around quite a bit to people at Adobe just to show how much work we have to do in terms of educating people, because the Flash experience as we see it kind of is two categories right now. There is the Flash in the browser. So when you load up your, you know, when you have a phone with Froyo on it, you would be able to get the Flash player from the marketplace. And then the goal there is to make sure that you can see, you know, really all the content on the web that is done in Flash on your phone. And that's going to definitely vary the experience depending on how well they've optimized it and you know what kind of Flash experience it is. But we kind of wanted to make things just work initially so that when you went to a restaurant site that uses Flash, you would be able to see the content unlike other smartphones. And, of course, video is what we optimize for video. We're working hard on the gaming side so that we can get Flash games to work really well on these devices. So that's kind of the thing that most people think about when they think of Flash on smartphones is, I want to go to a Flash website, I want to be able to view it, I want to be able to interact with it, and I want it to work. The other side of that is a thing called Adobe Air, which is really more targeted at developers, but in a lot of ways I think it'll be bigger for the Android community because it allows Flash developers to create standalone applications, just basically like native Android applications, and then put them on the marketplace for people to buy. So all the games that Flash developers build, some of the video content Flash developers create, you can put that on the marketplace now and have a way to sell it just like you would sell or buy any other Android application. So I think for users, they're going to be able to see a whole bunch of great Flash content that they can buy and download on their smartphone, in addition to be able to view all this stuff in the browser with Flash Player once they grab it off the marketplace.
Jerry, you didn't sit through the whole day-long thing with us. What did you kind of think after watching the couple of videos we put out? Really, the Air apps was kind of like the big video, I think.
Yeah, Air, it really impressed me. You know, that's I can see just how useful and fun that's going to be.
Yeah, and I think, and a lot of it, I mean, because it's definitely targeted more at developers, but as I said, I think the consumer side is going to be bigger because Flash developers create some cool stuff, and as battered as I think Flash developers have been with the Apple debate and the HTML5 stuff, there's still a lot of great Flash content out there, whether it's video or games or other kind of even enterprise sort of RIAs, and so I'm excited because now my Android phone can download those standalone, and I have access to, you know, geolocation, I have access to the accelerometer, I have access to other things on the device so that I can create kind of like a real native experience and then deploy that on Android phones and eventually deploy that on other smartphones like BlackBerry, Palm Pre, etc.
Is it safe to say we're still pretty much in the infancy of Flash and mobile, and obviously Air too? I mean, we saw a piece written this week, I forget if it was PC World or PC Mag or Laptop Mag or somebody, that basically said, and literally the headline was, Steve Jobs is right, Flash isn't ready yet, and, which is kind of a loaded thing to begin with, and I kind of question the way it was written. But should we really be looking at it like a finished product at this point, or really we're just getting going?
Well, I think in some cases it is a finished product because we have the version that we have out on the smart, I think at least on the Nexus One, shortly on the Droid, is a finished product. So that's, or at least 10.1 product. That is our first really full Flash player for mobile. And I think one of the big things that everyone needs to keep in mind of is that we're in the infancy on mobile for everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about, you guys know this better than I do and better than most people just from watching the industry over the past year and a half, because things are moving so quickly. And I think we were really excited that most of the content out there works on the Flash player. And so now we're on mobile devices, and now we're going to be working on, one, talking to developers and making sure that they're optimizing their content a little bit better for these smaller devices, so that when you go to a Flash site, it'll even detect whether or not you're on a mobile device and give you a more optimized Flash experience. And then the other side of it is making sure that we are adding more features to the runtime, so that as the desktop player adds features like 3D or whatever else it ends up being, we add those to the browser or to the mobile runtime as well.
So what you're, there's still plenty of room for more optimization, and, you know, in a nutshell, you know, we're seeing, like you said, it's a final product and it works. And I will say, you know, it works pretty well. When I was told that Flash is something that I shouldn't have or can't have, I made it my goal to find out just what I, you know, what I thought of it, and dug around and went around the internet, looked at a lot of things. And for some stuff, you know, video, inline videos in particular, it works really well. And, you know, the more optimized it gets, I can see that it is a viable resource for smartphones, regardless of what other people say.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're finding is, and this is definitely a first stab, right? So we're going to be doing a ton of optimization to the runtime itself. I think you'll see us tweak the overall user experience so that when you go to a site that wasn't optimized for Flash, how can we do things to make it easier for the user to navigate around that site? So we're going to be doing those optimizations as well. I think ultimately there still needs to be a pretty significant debate both on the HTML side and the Flash side about how do we customize the experience for mobile devices? Because one of the things that I actually kind of lament is the fact that applications seem to be the primary mobile experience right now. And I don't know exactly why that is, but it seems like from a UI standpoint, everyone loves native applications on their phones. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the reason for that is that we haven't figured out inside of the web browser on those phones how we're supposed to create content that really is optimized for those devices. And there are some, I think, like Sencha Touch on the HTML JavaScript side is a great example of kind of trying to have that native experience. But both on the HTML side and the Flash side, we need to do a better job of kind of educating users about creating in-browser applications that are optimized for smaller devices and for these smartphones.
Well, didn't you hear? The web is dead.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. That's what they tell me.
Well, we briefly talked about that last week. I mean, Adobe's kind of in a weird spot because you have Google on one hand, which is a very, very big proponent of HTML5, and on the other hand, you guys are doing Flash, and that's your baby. So it's kind of an odd mix, right?
Yeah, it is a little bit of an odd mix. I think, and this is, and I'm of course biased working for Adobe, but I think we don't get a lot of credit from from people who are non-Flash developers about the things that we try to do around helping designers and developers create content in general. So we've got Dreamweaver, which is used by a lot of, you know, designers and developers to create HTML content. When we were in the middle of our Creative Suite cycle, that was just when HTML5 was starting to become something you could target, because the browsers had sort of caught up and implemented some of the specification, and it was really difficult for us to switch mid-gears and try to support that in our Creative Suite 5 release. So we couldn't do that, but what you saw is that we released an HTML5 add-on for Dreamweaver shortly thereafter, which added support for, you know, syntax highlighting and code completion for HTML5 tags. So we are going to create tools for HTML5 as well. And ultimately, what my boss tells us and kind of what I've taken as my personal mantra is Adobe is all about letting developers do cool shit on the client side. So hopefully we can hope I can say that word on the podcast.
Sure.
But whether it's JavaScript, whether it's Flash, we want developers to create really, really cool stuff. And I think there's still going to be a role for Flash because we can do things and we can upgrade the Flash player faster than the HTML5 spec can move. And that's fine. And so they'll take kind of the lower end, and Flash will continue to move and evolve, and HTML will continue to move and evolve. And it'll be, I think all of us are trying to move the web forward, and just a matter of where does the experience belong, on the HTML side or the Flash side.
What's the biggest hurdle right now? What's holding us back the most?
In terms of what?
In terms of propagating Flash content across mobile or...
Yeah, so I think really the biggest hurdle that I see is just that there are still bad experiences out there. You have the Laptop Magazine article that you guys referenced where, you know, with the title Steve Jobs is Right, Flash Player Sucks. And I think there's still some optimizations that we can do. I think we have to do a better job of setting expectations. But to me, that's the biggest hurdle, is that there are still people out there who are having a bad experience for whatever reason. And as we get Flash on more phones, you know, including BlackBerry and all the other Android phones, you'll see, I think, a much wider pool to draw from. And in general, the experience is good, but we need to be better about creating a consistent experience for people across, you know, devices and screens and types of phones.
I know in the Android market, there's the Adobe Flash Showcase application. It's, you know, it's a set of links to optimized mobile websites, you know, games, videos, whatnot. It shows that there is a lot of Flash that is really good. And, you know, compared to HTML5, the way the spec is now, there are times when Flash is clearly superior. And, you know, I can see whether they end up converging or splitting completely. I don't think Flash is something that's going to die anytime in the, in, you know, the immediate future. And, you know, things, especially the smaller elements that everybody overlooks, menus, there's a lot of Flash out there that does work really well. So I agree. We, you know, promote that a little bit, let people see the good part rather than focus on all the bad and the gloom and doom we're hearing all the time.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in the technology industry, we are very passionate about the technologies that we love, and we are, I think, very disparaging of the technologies that, that get in the way. And so I think, especially in the initial phases, there is this extreme love and affection for HTML5 because, to be honest, you know, Flash has – and I don't think it's necessarily Adobe's fault, but Flash has been used for some things where it maybe shouldn't have been used for. I think it's been used for animation for too long. I think it's been used for advertisements too long. And, you know, that affects the user experience. So there's a big desire for HTML to come and sort of save all of us. And I think it's great that HTML5 is now going to do things like animation and move to advertising because there's no need for a plug into the browser to do something as basic as move something from the left of the screen to the right of the screen. I think Flash Player is just overkill for that. And so my hope is that as people start to realize the limitations of HTML5 and the limitations of Flash, that we can kind of settle on certain things that belong in HTML and JavaScript and then certain things that Flash can do better than those things. And, you know, if video is a good example because people talk about we could do video now in HTML5, so we don't need Flash. But there's a lot of things around content protection, around peer-to-peer video, so you can save bandwidth, around dynamic streaming that will detect your internet connection and give you the highest quality stream that you can stand without having to wait for buffering. We're putting all those in the Flash player, and those haven't really been part of the HTML5 specification yet. So there are areas where HTML5 is going to be fantastic, and I'm excited about it, but there are also a lot of places where Flash will continue to, I think, lead and set an example. And then the HTML5 spec can come in behind the scenes and use some of those things that work out well, like video.
Let's talk like baselines, because you have to have Android 2.2 Froyo before you can get Flash, right? There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Yep, that's right. That's the minimum requirement right now is Froyo.
Is that something to do with the JIT, or is that just something else in the framework? Or?
You know, I don't know if it's necessary. I think basically what it was is that was where we focused our engineering resources mm-hmm. because when we were releasing the Flash Player, 2.2 was what was going to be out and what was going to be prevalent. I don't know if there's any technical requirement at an operating system level that would prevent Flash. I think it's just more that I don't think it's a speed thing or anything like that. I think it was just mainly that we felt like both the devices that were going to have Froyo and the runtime energy or the engineering work we'd have to put in were best targeted at these higher end devices and we could hit the market at the beginning as opposed to trying to hit the lower end and having a less good experience.
We talked a little bit when we were out there about which devices are capable of running Flash and which devices actually technically officially will get Flash. And there was some really good discussion about processors, and I'm not a processor nerd, nor do I pretend to be. But ARM 11 was kind of the low end, right? Like it'll run on an ARM 11 device, but not necessarily as optimally as we would like, or?
Yeah, I think, and again, I'm not a processor. Like you, I'm not a processor junkie, and it's something I need to get better about, but I am not as up to speed as I should be. But yeah, as I understand it, ARM 11 is kind of the minimum right now. And I think you'll get a decent experience on the ARM 11. It may not be as good as the higher-end chipsets, of course, but that's kind of what we felt comfortable with releasing and putting into people's hands the experience that we thought would be good enough for them. So it's not a bad experience by any means. It was just the one that I think the lowest end that we felt comfortable putting into people's hands and giving them.
Well, it stands to reason. You can't develop without thinking forward and, you know, picking Android 2.2 and a, you know, in this case, ARM 11 as the bottom end, and you know, optimizing it to work on anything that's that powerful or better, I think that's a great idea. You know, there's just no – my daughter uses a Palm Pixie, and there's just no reason to think that anything lower spec than that is even going to be able to run Flash, you know, on other – based on other reasons. The, you know, the battery's not going to be able to take it. It's it makes a lot of sense not to try to make the bottom end work. So, you know, I think that was a really good decision, and it'll make it better if it's optimized for, you know, a little bit higher spec devices, especially as devices come out that are even more higher spec. Flash is going to be less resource intensive, and, you know, I think looking forward that that's going to be a great thing, you know, instead of trying to work back. You all know what I'm saying. I'm just sitting here rambling.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think, you know, it's been sort of alarming to see how quickly things have moved. I think, you know, one of the reasons why it's taken, I think, a long time to get Flash Player on mobile devices is that I don't think anyone realized how things were going to go after the iPhone was released, because the iPhone was just a complete bombshell on the market, I think, in a lot of ways. And in the combination of the software, the combination of the hardware, I mean, it just completely changed how mobile devices were seen, at least how I used a mobile device. And now we've been, what is it, 3 years later, I guess, 2.5 years later, we have seen just incredible growth from that initial smartphone. And, you know, RIM's getting on board, Android has exploded. So I think we were pretty comfortable releasing something for higher-end devices, knowing that the market was moving so quickly that by the time we were sort of ready to push this thing out, there would be a number of smartphones out there, and we would just get better experiences as the smartphones got more and more powerful.
The zinger when we were out there in one of the slides was that Flash is available, or that 19 out of 20 manufacturers are on board with Flash.
Yeah, exactly.
and to everybody's credit, nobody asked who the one was.
and then we've it seen becomes some, fairly obvious.
Yeah, and we've seen some other quotes from the CEO this week, you know, saying, hey, we've moved on. And that's good to see, I think. It's interesting that you see iPhone related pieces, you know, still referring to that, like, yeah, they've moved on. It's, you know, like we're all 12-year-old girls or something, and can't be adults about this.
Well, I was talking to an analyst last week, and he said, "Oh, we're telling our customers within 2 years, Flash will be on the iDevices," and I would love to see that happen. But I mean, you know, I think we've worked with Apple. We tried to work with Apple. They haven't been, you know, obviously too receptive to that. And so we've moved on. And I think one of the things we've been really, really happy with is just the response from the Android community. You know, seeing the users, developers view Flash as a differentiator and then going out and talking about it, whether it's a good experience or a bad experience. And I think that level of honesty about the good and the bad has been good for the credibility of Flash, because I think we have a fairly good product, and I think 9 times out of 10 you'll have a pretty good experience when you grab it off the marketplace and try to go view content on the web that you couldn't see with an iDevice.
Let's put you on the spot. Is one OS better to work with mobile Flash than another? You know, Android versus BlackBerry versus Windows Phone 7, which, you know, most people haven't even touched yet, versus WebOS.
Yeah, so I'm not the best person to ask, because I've only done the Android version. Mm. I've only played with the Android version. I think we've released the version of the Flash Player that we have for mobile devices to all those partners. So I think Microsoft has it, RIM has it, Palm has it, and now HP has it. And now we're in the process of working with them to optimize it for their individual operating systems and their individual phones. So I think we're close with RIM. I think we're less close with HP. But the only one that I've played with is Android. And, you know, I think it works pretty well on Android. But we'll see. That'll actually be an interesting thing to see as the smartphone industry evolves, is are there certain operating systems that work better with Flash, and then does that become a big deal or not? And I think our goal is definitely to make it good for everyone, so we're not picking favorites or anything like that, but it will be kind of interesting to see if there are better experiences with different operating systems.
From a developer standpoint, is it going to matter? Is it not supposed to matter? You're just supposed to be able to write for Flash and it works?
Yeah, it's really not supposed to matter. I think the one caveat to that is definitely screen size. Mm-hmm. So as tablets come on board, you know, you're going to have to create, I think, specialized content for those screens. But in general, if you're a developer targeting the smartphone type of screen, then you should be able to run it everywhere, whether it's HP/Palm, whether it's RIM, whether it's Android, and it will work pretty much the exact same way.
Is Flash more of a battery suck over just normal video playing? I mean,
it's not really. I think we're in the middle of still doing some tests on that, and I think there are sort of, depending on the content that you play, there are some differences in the battery life, and I think Flash is maybe slightly more battery life required than video out of the box. But it's not as significant as I thought it was going to be originally. I think we've done a pretty good job of optimizing it, and I think I might have a blog post about comparing the battery life to default video and then Flash video, and it does take a little bit more battery life, I think, in some cases, but it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, and it's actually sort of insignificant in the grand scheme of things. It's like, I think you get 3 hours, 3.5 hours versus 3 hours and 20 minutes or something like that. So it's not a big deal.
And I have to agree there. On Android, it's relatively easy to take 5 minutes and revert to a version of the software that doesn't have Flash installed. Use it for your day-to-day, you know, how you would use your smartphone for, you know, a day or two. Check it out, and then load up a version of the software that includes Flash. And, you know, there might be a little bit of a battery hit in your, you know, if you just use your phone like you want to use your phone, but nothing that caused me enough alarm to write a post about, or you know, I saw nothing to raise red flags at all.
Yeah, and one of the things we've tried to do, and I think we've worked with Google pretty closely on this, is trying to make it so that the experience is really in the user's control. One of the favorite plugins that a lot of people use is Click to Flash, so that you actually have to activate Flash on your page when you view it. And on the Android, on Froyo or 2.2, there is a setting there in the browser so that you can make all Flash content click to Flash, so it won't load on the page until you actually activate it. And that's it's not the default setting, but it's a setting that you could just go in and set in the browser. So if you want to make sure that you're getting absolutely no battery life hit at all because it's not going to be loading Flash, you can go do that, check that setting, and make sure that you're only activating Flash content that you want to see. So I think we're doing a much better job than we did even on the desktop about putting that experience into the user's hands so that we're not draining battery without asking them. We're not showing them, you know, a page loaded with Flash content without asking them. So the experience is really in their hands, which I think is critical to providing a good experience for Flash and leaving warm fuzzies when you're dealing with Flash on your phone. Now, what are you guys seeing out there in terms of, you know, users and the people that read your blogs about, especially Flash in the browser? Has the feedback been good? Are there things that we're missing, do you think, in terms of what we should do to make it better?
It's almost kind of binary. Like, you either have to have it or you don't have to have it. And I can't decide if I'm in the don't have to have or if I'm kind of in between. I mean, I guess it's nice to have for some stuff, but I'm the wrong guy. I'm not a normal user. I don't know.
But what I guess the people that I associate with or people that are drawn to me kind of share the same ideals. Have to have it. You know, like you said, you've got a plug-in. You can disable it, enable it. I'm hearing from a lot of people that are very pleased that they have the choice to use Flash, and I hear the phrase, see the entire web. I hear that quite a lot.
And it really is the entire web, right? I mean, we're not talking like a separate pipe for Flash content. It's all just there.
Oh, I was just saying that the people I'm hearing from, they love the fact that they have the choice. They, you know, not necessarily just the choice to enable or disable Flash content in their browser, but the choice to use Flash if they so desire. And, you know, everybody that I've spoken with is on board. You know, that's part of what differentiates one smartphone platform from the rest, and it's, you know, the choice of what the user would like. So we're all for it on my end.
Yeah, well, I think that's just a really good point. I think Adobe is always, I like to think of that Adobe and Macromedia before that have succeeded because we provided value to people beyond what the browser could do. And so that's one of the reasons why Flash has 99% penetration on the desktop side, is because Flash gets used in a lot of places. Now, some of those places are maybe not the best use case for Flash, but in general, you know, games, higher end video, Flash has always made the experience better, and so people download it. And for me as an Adobe employee, what I want to see is just the ability for people to download it and kind of and choose for the, or let the market decide whether or not Flash on mobile devices is valuable. And right now we have that with Android, so, and I think it's one of the more popular apps on the marketplace right now for those phones that can get it. People are deciding whether or not they want to use Flash on a, on, or download Flash on a daily basis. On the iDevices, we just don't have that. We don't have the ability to let the market choose. It's kind of one company choosing, and you know, people are still buying iPhones, so there's definitely part of the market is choosing. They don't really care about Flash, but now that it's an option on a competing platform, I think that, you know, we're pretty excited about the response we've gotten. I think I'm excited personally just to see, you know, from a career standpoint and a developer standpoint, do people think still Flash is still valuable enough to download and grab, and can we get the same kind of penetration we have on the desktop side?
When's my phone going to get Flash? That's the number one question we get. When am I going to get Flash? When am I going to get Flash? You don't know. You don't control that.
And we're going to do a lot better job about that, I think. And that was one of the feedback that we got after we had you guys out, was, you know, there's just so much confusion and nothing. So the Droid was a great example. So Droid starts getting the 2.2 update out there. And one of the first things people want is Flash. They go to the marketplace and they can't find it, which has to be incredibly frustrating as a consumer and someone who maybe saw Flash sort of a differentiator for that device. So I think we're going to do a much better job about communicating to the public about when Flash will be available for their smartphones. And we can't put words in the mouth of our partners about when they're going to get Froyo or the 2.2 update, but once we know that information, we can provide some...
You were so close. We almost had that whole sentence before it cut out again.
Oh, okay. And well, no worries. I'll stop there and let you guys ask questions.
What about security concerns? I know people have worried about Flash cookies. Is that a concern in the mobile space?
You know, I don't. That's a good question. We're working with the browser vendors them pretty closely to make sure that I think we're trying to find ways that we can expose those Flash cookies in a way that's more like traditional cookies, so that they'll have a little more control or transparency over how they work. On the mobile side, I don't know if we have done the work with Google directly to sort of make that less of a factor, but I think we are always definitely worried about the perception of security, and then of course the security, and you know, making sure we don't have security issues. And the Flash cookies are kind of one of those perception issues where we don't try to hide the fact that they exist or try to obscure the fact at all. But it's sort of, there's some confusion about how they work, and so we're trying to be more clear about how that happens, and then try to work with the browser vendors to kind of bake their privacy settings in to where they can access those Flash cookies maybe from the browser.
The cookies by themselves are not inherently evil.
No, exactly.
They're not evil cookies.
No, they're not. But you know, there's some confusion about what they do and how they work, just because they don't behave like normal cookies. And so people have sort of seized on that fact and tried to spin a story where I don't really think that there is any, but it's always good to educate consumers about what's happening and how they're being tracked. And I think that we'll continue to try to do the work with the browser vendors and in the case of mobile devices with the manufacturers to provide as much information as possible about how we're doing those things and why they're happening.
I think the problem there is the name cookie got attached to something that's not really a cookie, and people expect it to act like what they're familiar with.
There's a certain expectation you have for cookies, and then Flash behaves slightly differently because we've done things differently for a while. And it's just a matter of, I think, educating people and, like I said, providing more control over that experience in general.
What do you think, Jerry? Anything else? Should we let Ryan off the hook?
Yeah, I think we got enough to work on here and let him get back to his semi-vacation.
Well, Ryan, thank you very much. And I think everybody's really excited that Flash is finally coming to Android. And, you know, I can only imagine that it's going to get better. I mean, imagine how smooth it's going to be this time next year, right, on next-gen hardware.
Yep, exactly. I think I'm really excited about that. And you guys have been, the Android community has been fantastic. So I want to give a huge thank you to those of you who have tweeted about it, who have talked about it, who have experimented with it, both good or bad. I think we would love to hear your feedback in general. And I'm always available via email, ryan@adobe.com, fairly easy to remember. So if your users or anyone else wants to ask a question or has some concerns or even wants something nice, I'd love to hear about it, because you guys are a big part of what keeps me excited about Flash in general, is seeing the Android community kind of take it up. And so you have reinvigorated me for the next 6 to 9 months, and I think it's going to be an exciting few months here in the near future.
I feel all warm and fuzzy now.
I know, right?
Still getting used to that. Well, appreciate it, man. Thanks for talking with us.
Yeah, thank you very much. Have a good week, and thanks a lot for having me on. Cheers, guys.